Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study that you can find at our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. I encourage you to visit our website for this and other useful resources. You're listening to Lesson 1 entitled, An Overview of the Bible. Let's begin. I'm holding in my hands a Bible. Now, if you saw it, it would seem like nothing spectacular to you, but this Bible is dear to me. It was given to me by my wife upon my ordination back in 2006. It has seen many tears. It has presided over a few funerals, a few weddings. But you know what makes this Bible the most special to me is that God has spoken to me through these words off of this page many, many times, late at night, early in the morning, in my study, with my family during devotional times. This Bible is both personal to me as well as something that is collectively beneficial. It helps me, but it helps those that I minister to. This Bible is important to me. It's probably one of the most important treasures I own. If you looked at it, you wouldn't think much of it. The pages, many of them are wore out. The print's still there, but for instance, I'm looking in Galatians and Ephesians, the first page of Ephesians, and I see the pages are stained with probably sweat, oil from my skin. But from turning the pages numerous times and spending a lot of time in Ephesians, if you were to open my Bible to Leviticus and Numbers in the Old Testament, you would think I've never even read from those. I know I spend very little time in those two books of the Bible. But I am a full Bible student. I believe the Scriptures as we have it, as I'm holding in my hand, is the Word of God, inerrant, complete, and it's useful and faithful for helping us with all life and godliness. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, we're told in 2 Timothy. This Bible is important to me, and I believe it's important to you. For everyone who would endeavor to study the Bible, it's good to understand what is the Bible. The first question people have is, what is the structure of the Bible? Hopefully they know it's not just thrown together. True, there are 40 different authors for its 66 books, but this Bible has a plan. Our English Bible contains 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. In the Old Testament, you have the first five books of the Bible, which are called the books of Moses. This is the Pentateuch. Moses wrote most of them. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And after the first five books of the Bible, we enter into a section, at least as it's laid out in the English Bibles, of the history section. We have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. These history books are full of great stories. They're written in such a way as to captivate the reader. Think of Joshua. Joshua is being put in charge of the nation of Israel. He's the chosen one to lead them into the promised land. Joshua's young, but he was full of faith. Yet we find out that though he was full of faith and he believed God, he needed to be reminded to trust in the Lord. It was the Lord who spoke to him through Moses, and the Lord spoke directly to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." It's also in the book of Joshua, near the end, that Joshua makes this great declaration, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many of us take a stand like that today? But Joshua did, and that serves us today. In the book of Judges and Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel, we have the very earliest history of Israel. In particular, Samuel seems to bridge a gap between the age of the judges in the history of Israel and the coming prophets. And in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's the history of the kings, the annals of the kings, so to speak, history of wars, overthrow of kings, kings that were evil and despicable, leading a whole nation into sin. But we also read of a God who is faithful to save his people. And occasionally God provided a king that was godly. In the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, these books are invaluable when it comes for understanding the post-exilic years for Israel. What did God do after Israel went into captivity in Babylon? He brought them back. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the walls. We see God caused Israel to survive, and God caused Israel to thrive. The history makes up a large section of the Old Testament, but probably more endearing to most to people is the writings, the poetry of Scripture. You have Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Job is a book that shows us that God is faithful and his invisible hand is at work. And oftentimes we don't see it, but God is faithful to sustain his people. In Psalms, we have promises and prayers and the crying out of desperate people, in particular David, who wrote most of them. The Proverbs is the wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes, wisdom literature. The Song of Solomon, a love song. You get into the prophets, which round out the Old Testament, and you have what are called major prophets. That would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And minor prophets, which are not minor by any stretch of the imagination. You have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And as I sat here and I hold my Bible, my mind is captivated by vivid imagery that's portrayed in the narrative of the Old Testament. And when we come to the New Testament, we are greeted with a narrative as well. The Gospels. The story of the incarnation of Christ, his public ministry, his advent, his crucifixion, his burial and resurrection. There are four Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, followed by the Acts, the book called the Acts. You might ask, well, what is it the Acts of? The Acts is the Acts of the risen Christ through the church by the Holy Spirit. You see, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commanded the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. And in the book of Acts, we chronicle and follow the history of the advancement of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as the church expanded, letters were sent to these churches, to the big churches, the main churches. And these are called epistles. The apostles wrote epistles. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. These letters are letters of instruction, letters to counsel them and to protect them and help them and guard them and keep them. And following the epistles, the New Testament concludes with the book of the Revelation. And notice I didn't say revelations. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. And the revelation of Christ reveals him for who he is, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is coming again. What we need to notice when we look at our Bibles is that there is one major theme. Otherwise, we see this as just a bunch of stories thrown together, and we wonder what's the purpose behind it. The major theme of the scripture is God's redemption, his restoration and renewal of man and creation. I guess we could say in short, God's redemption of man and creation. It's the history of redemption. Through the scripture, there's a progressive focus of redemption. From Genesis, after the fall of Adam and Eve, we have a glimpse of the proto-evangel, the birth of the gospel in chapter 3, verse 15. But we see the revelation of this redemption come full circle in the person of Jesus Christ. Redemption's brought into focus. Well, let's look at this for a minute. In the Old Testament, I think a good way to describe this would simply be this, that Christ is promised in the Old Testament. His name itself, Jesus, is not used in the way that we think about it. It doesn't say there will be a person named Jesus Christ who will come. But it promises Christ. It promises a Messiah. Christ is Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah. A Messiah, an anointed one, is promised. This anointed one will be a suffering servant, but this anointed one will also be a sovereign king. And throughout many of the Old Testament passages, this suffering servant and the sovereign king seem to be two different people, but it's one person in the person of Jesus Christ. Now in the New Testament, Christ is revealed, especially in the Gospels. The Gospels announce the advent of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. The one predicted is now come. He is revealed. And in the book of Acts, Christ is preached to the nations. And in the epistles, Christ is explained to the church. And in the Revelation, Christ is expected just as he was predicted. The Old Testament, Christ is predicted. The Gospels, Christ is revealed. The Acts, Christ is preached. The Epistles, Christ is explained. And in the Revelation, Christ is expected. And that is good news. Let's take a brief look at the overview of the four Gospels. And we're going to begin with the Gospel of Mark. It was probably written first. It's the first of the synoptic Gospels, and you would say synoptic. Well, synoptic is that there are the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, contain many of the same stories and the same events. They agree with each other. John is not a synoptic, but it is supplementary to the Gospels. But the Gospel of Mark was probably written AD 58. And in this Gospel, Jesus is presented as God's obedient servant. Here in the Gospel of Mark, he emphasizes the service of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew is written second, probably AD 60. And here in this Gospel, and we will see this again and again in our study of Matthew, Jesus is presented as mighty King. Matthew emphasizes the power of Christ. The Gospel of Luke was probably written also in AD 60, and here Jesus is presented as the ideal Son of Man. Luke emphasizes the sympathy of Christ. And the Gospel of John, written in AD 98 or thereabout, and Jesus is the divine Son of God. John emphasizes the wisdom of Christ. And he wrote to a very broad and very wide audience because at this time, the gospel had spread to Gentiles alike as well as Jews, but it expounds on the depth of the person of Christ. Well, let's finish this audio devotional by looking at the Gospel of Matthew, just a brief overview of the entire gospel. You'll be reading this gospel this coming week if you're answering the questions at the end of lesson one. You can find them online. But the outline of Matthew is fairly straightforward. The advent of Christ, where we see the king expected and then the king coming in chapters 1 through 4. In chapters 5 through 25, the ministry of Jesus is public. Jesus is the Messiah and the king. But we see his Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 through 7, his miracles and teaching in chapters 8 through 20, the Passion Week 21 through 25, That is the week leading up to his crucifixion, which leads us to our third section of the outline of Matthew, chapters 26 and 27, the crucifixion and burial of Christ, and then finally, chapter 28, the resurrection and commission. So I hope that you'll read this week, answer the questions, and find them to be helpful to you. But let me ask you, is the Bible a significant possession of yours? When you open the Word of God, are you reading the very words of God? If you struggle with the Scriptures and you question if they're useful for you, I would ask you to pray. Pray before you read the Scriptures. Ask the Lord to speak to you. He will begin transforming your heart, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, testament by testament. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you.